I mean, I graduated from high school with a C-plus average because I was imitating Vinny Barbarino, but nobody did a news story about that.
What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
It's another Saturday night, wasted with me, Josh Hadley, as well as the cat.
Hello, everyone. I don't think that you're wasting your time, but you might be.
You know, and then you know you're wasting your time with Chucko McMucko.
Yeah, if you use my easy method, you can be wasted while wasting your time.
That's what he does here. If you guys want to waste your time in a different way, you could go to adamandeve.com, use the promo code WHAT, and you'd get 10 free gifts. You'd get 6 free DVDs, a gift for her, a gift for him, a gift that you'll both enjoy, and free U.S. shipping, all for using the promo code WHAT at adamandeve.com. We are sponsored now.
We'll all shit a live squid.
I'm sure Adam and Eve has something to help you with that. I don't even know where to go with...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Because there are so many this week. How about we talk about how the word redskin, in relation to the Washington Redskins, may now be an actual FCC finable slur. The FCC is seriously looking at changing the merits of what qualifies as a slur on the air, that saying redskin, even in relation to the Washington Redskins, on the air, over the radio, or on television, could be offensive and derogatory, and therefore finable. What are your thoughts on that?
Maybe this is a step in the right direction towards some kind of justice for an oppressed peoples in this country. But is it really? I don't know. Because there are things that have become part of the vernacular, that have become sort of normalized. And even if it's offensive, it's just what we do. It's just what we say. Like cuss words being sort of pretty much part of our normal existence.
Fuck yeah.
Some people are some people are offended by it, but it's just how we talk now. And Redskins, it's offensive to some people. It probably should be considered offensive to everybody, but it's just something in our vernacular, and changing that is going to be very, very difficult.
Should we really be fining people over this?
Like a lot of dumb things lately, I'm kind of torn. Like, I understand the motivation behind it, because I think Redskins is a very offensive term, because my dad is half Cherokee, and whenever it would come up in conversation, it would kind of piss him off. Same thing with, like, the Atlanta Braves. But Redskins especially was like the N-word of its day. You know what I mean? Like that's really a bad slur against Native Americans. But I don't think it should be a finable thing because it doesn't fucking matter. That's just money. Like that won't stop people from using the term. The money, it's not like the money goes to tribal college fund or anything. The money goes to the FCC, who's probably splitting it with the NFL. That's probably what this whole thing is about. That makes more sense than getting offended at a word, though horrible, has already been used for the past however many years the Washington Redskins have been a thing. I think it's too late to do anything about it. Something should have been done back then. It wasn't, and now it doesn't matter.
But then also consider nigger is not finable, chink is not finable, kike is not finable, fag is not finable. Why would redskin be something the FCC could fine when they don't for other racial slurs? Isn't that being exquisitely picky?
Not necessarily. That's where context comes into play. Because, yeah, if Dave Chappelle says the word nigger on TV, he doesn't get fined. But if, let's say Rob Ford came to America and wanted to start his own baseball team and name them the Atlanta Niggers, he would be fined. It's all about context. Like, that's something you can't do. You know, because words are just words. They're only offensive when they're used to an offensive end. That's why I don't think the Washington Redskins should have to change their name. But I do think they should not have been allowed to use the name in the first place. I don't know. Like, that's what I'm saying. I don't think it should be fined because none of those words are fined because they're just words. Words only have the power given to them by context. You know what I mean?
Wouldn't it be weird all of a sudden if the name stays the Washington Redskins, Then all of a sudden, the sports casts in Washington, whether it be on NBC or the local radio station, would have to go, the Washington team formerly known as this word we can't say. Isn't that narrow to such a ridiculous degree that it becomes almost prejudiced against this one specific word?
What you've just said is why it probably won't pass. Like, they're considering it, but they probably won't enact it because you, your team name, which I know has been a discussion for a long time, it's just too hard. It sounds kind of like a lame excuse, but it's such a well-known, substantial franchise that they just can't go change their name. It's just not something that's going to happen.
I mean, like on eBay, you can't sell Nazi merchandise. You can sell slave merchandise. So are they going to outlaw selling 5-year-old Redskin merchandise? Because now it's a slur. Okay, how about we go to something a little more dumb and sexist? On Fox News, do I even need to point out that it's stupid and sexist if it's on Fox News? We've got Monet Davis, who is going to the Little League World Championships. And Fox News says she needs to stick to female sports. She's the first little leaguer ever to get this far. She's pitched a perfect game. And Fox News says, why is a girl even playing baseball?
The idea that there are girls' sports and boys' sports is kind of silly. The idea that Fox thinks that girls can't play quote-unquote boys' sports is just Fox being Fox. They're fucking retarded. They hate women so much. I don't know what to say to this. It's like, go shut the fuck up and let somebody be happy about something that they've worked hard and accomplished. You people who are just so angry about everything, and we're angry about
everything.
She's black, everything.
Too, These so I'm sure that doesn't help.
Are terrible. They can't let somebody be happy for a great accomplishment. They just can't. They can't.
A perfect game is hard to do for adults, let alone a 13-year-old. That's a good accomplishment. I agree with you.
Well, there are a couple things about this. First of all, it's both derogatory and complimentary to say she does not throw like a girl. I just think that's a weird arrangement of circumstances that happened there. But about Fox News, I think they hate women so much that this is actually Trojan horsed, like very carefully structured wage gap propaganda. In fact, a double whammy since she's both black and female. By saying stick to women's sports, they mean the WNBA, meaning she's guaranteed never to make more than $13 an hour. On the record, it's disgusting, embarrassing, and it just makes me want to go to all the other countries and say that I'm not with him.
Well, Fox News is also now insinuating that Obama actually wants Ebola to come into America because, according to Phyllis Schlafly, it would make it more like his home in Africa.
I mean, if you're going to come up with some stupid fucking anti-Obama conspiracy about why he would want Ebola in the country, you could at least come up with something interesting. Saying
a coup against the American people or something, you know?
Yeah, at least be creative about it. If you're going to be a conspiracy theory crazy person, at least say that he's trying to, I don't know, get rid of all of the white people or, you know, target Republicans. Something, you know? Don't just be like, oh, it's because it's like Africa thing. You're not funny. It's just petty and sad.
I just think when people try to make everything about race, always race baiting, like Al Sharpton does the same thing, always race baiting issues, trying to make everything about race, are distracting themselves from actual news, which is supposed to be what their job is. So while they're trying to make everything racist, actual Ebola is going to make everything like Obama's real home in Hawaii.
Fair enough. Well, how about we move to our favorite friend, Phil Richardson, who says, you cannot get STDs from biblically safe sex. That if you are a man and you are a woman and you save yourself for marriage, as told in the Bible, and you only have sex with each other, you are absolutely safe from AIDS or any kind of STD.
This is obviously someone who doesn't actually know anything about biology or actually anything about STDs, because you can get them from childbirth. You can get them from your mother. You can get some of them from kissing. I mean, there's a lot of ways to get STDs, and you don't have to be a whore sleeping around, as is his implications. There doesn't have to be anything wrong. You don't have to be committing a mortal sin in order to get an STD. But obviously, he's too fucking stupid to know that.
What makes me happy about that is more church folk with herpes. That's going to be awesome. Like, if it's a small town, they probably all contracted it around the same time. So there's going to be Sundays where everybody is having an outbreak. And they probably have insurance from companies that don't cover Valtrex because it's an elective medication. I think that's a beautiful thing. My glass is half full, you guys.
How about, for the last one of this segment, how about the Austin TV station that updated the weather on their Twitter with a bunch of gay dick pics? Did you guys see that one?
How gay were they? That's a really good question.
That's what Johnny Carson's audience would say. How gay were they?
I'm looking at the photos right now. They are pretty gay. So,
I mean, like, what makes them gay? Because is it like two dudes?
No, it's just it's a dude stroking his own cock in socks and a baseball cap, and that's it.
What makes that gay exactly?
Yeah, I'm straight, and I've done that a number of times.
TWC News Austin. Traffic, your 5:12 a.m., your 5:12 p.m. update. Too many. And then the photos. It was, of course, quickly taken down, and then another tweet immediately sent out. We sincerely apologize for an earlier tweet which contained offensive content. We are investigating what happened. Now, obviously, we don't know what happened. What do you think happened? Do you think the weather person, and it is a man, the weatherman at that time was just cruising dick pics online and hit the wrong tweet? Or do you think this was a prank, a hack? What do you think?
I think they fired the wrong intern. Like, they probably were like, yeah, after today's thing, we're going to have to let you go. And they were like, okay, well, as long as I'm going to get fired, I'm going to get fired for good reasons.
I'm gonna make sure I'm fired for the right reason, damn it.
I would like to think that he would also be fired if they were vaginas.
That is fair. This is not because they're of dudes with big dicks. It's just the fact that I don't think that has anything to do with traffic. So
they like it weird down there.
All right, guys, we are here with Joseph Michael Linsner. I am Hart D. Fisher. And, of course, we got Josh Cranky Pants Hadley in the house, risen from his own grave to make it to this interview. Joe, welcome to the extra innings of Heart Attack.
Hey, good to be here.
Again, how do people find you online, Joe? How would they find you on Twitter?
Twitter at Joseph Linsner.
Awesome. Yay. Can they find you on Facebook?
Yes. On Facebook, I'm at Joe Linsner.
And how do people find your website? Where's that at?
www.linsner.com. That's L-I-N-S-N-E-R.
There we go. He's learning. We've been training him. Guys at home, if you haven't heard, we got him for a full hour on Heart Attack. So check that out at 1201beyond.com. And here we are. We're in the extra innings. And, you know, I'm really fascinated, actually, by this Don Bamparella crossover. Did you write this? And who's publishing it? Dynamite?
That is being published by Dynamite Entertainment, who is the rights owner for Vampirella. And they've owned her for, I don't know, past 5 or 7 years.
Well, they must have taken over after Harris.
Yeah, they actually bought Vampirella. Because, Harris had bought Vampirella from Warren when Warren went out of business. I think Dynamite, they're a much better home for Vampirella. They've been treating her with a greater level of respect.
That's cool.
Than Harris ever did.
That would be a fun character to play with. That's something I would enjoy writing Vampirella. Right now, who's publishing Dawn? Where's the home of your character? Who's your publisher right now?
All the Dawn books are published by Image Comics, the same guys who published The Walking Dead and Spawn. And
oh, yeah, the guys I did Kill Image with once upon a time, and I killed them. Back in the old days. That's a good book, folks at home. If you could find Kill Image, that's a fun one, and I go and I kill Rob Liefeld, and I kill Jim Lee, and I kill Todd McFarlane. And everybody except for Todd was terrified that I was going to really come kill them.
Like, what kind of fallout? Have you ever talked to those guys?
Oh, yeah. I actually interviewed Todd McFarlane before, and I interviewed Rob Liefeld for the Comics Journal when they had their big split. I did a lot of stunt interviews for, like, Hero Illustrated, Comics Journal, Fan Magazine. I actually did quite a bit of journalistic writing in the 90s for these kinds of magazines. It was a lot of fun. You know, I really enjoyed doing that kind of thing.
With the notability that you have now and the level that you're at, do you still have any characters or stories you're unable to get to? Like, you've got this killer Batman story that Warner Brothers just won't let you do, or Obsidian Stone. You said back in the 90s, you will see that published before you die.
Yes. As a matter of fact, I have plenty of characters that I just don't have enough time in the day to get towards. And starting just last year, I put out a one-shot book called Sin Boldly, which had two short stories. One story was featuring Sinful Susie, who's a female demon character I've had for a while, and the other story focused on Obsidian Stone. Yeah, having, you know, reached this point in my life and realizing that, hey, you know, time's a ticking, time's a wasting. And I had a couple of deaths in the family, and, you know, I got a dose of my own mortality. And so
Have you had anything happen with you and your health, Joe? Have you had to, like, make some changes? I've been making some changes in my own life. You know, I had a cancer scare with my wife. She's a survivor of that illness. You know, I made major changes in my life because of it. And even now, I'm making some changes to my diet and what I put in my body.
I thank God, knock on wood, I've had no major scares. But, you know, I as I've been getting older, I've been, you know, trying to be healthier. And Christina actually is an angel in helping me.
A pretty lady pokes a lot of different behavior out of a man, can't they?
You bet. She's the best thing that's ever happened to me. And anytime she sees me, you know, attempting to, you know, eat poorly or maybe drink too much, she threatens to kill me if I don't take better care of myself.
Do you exercise, Joe? Do you have an exercise program or just living life as it comes to you?
I have an exercise bike, but I mean to get back to the gym. I have a gym that just opened in my neighborhood, so I actually miss that. That's one of the terrible things about being a comic artist. You know, get this dream job where I get to, you know, put all my dreams on paper, but the downside is I sit on my ass all day.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I've been doing so much paperwork. The thing that's been killing me about this business I've done with American Horrors is, Jesus Christ, the paperwork, the phone calls. How is it for you working with Image? Do you feel like you're finally in the big leagues?
Sometimes.
I feel you.
It's so strange. You know, some days I'll actually feel like, you know, okay, you know, my name, you know, means something. I've actually made a little mark. And then other days, you know, I won't get any you know, respect from anybody, you know, at certain companies, whatever. So it, it goes back and forth. It's so tough for me to go, it's very elusive, very, very slippery. That's why at the end of the day, I just try to keep my blinders on and just worry about the work. And something I used to tell my fellow artists in the 90s, whenever they would, you know, get down on things, I would tell them just, you know, focus on the work and the work will set you free. Because I'm a strong believer in hard work. I think hard work will pay off. If you're doing good, honest work, I think once you accumulate a body of work, I think it'll get noticed.
That's definitely something where I'm feeling it in my career. And it's actually a young creator, like, smacked me in the face with it, actually. I was having an argument with a director several years back. He was doing what I felt were a lot of dumb moves that were short-sighted and short-term moves, and a lot of worry about what was said about him on the internet, and getting all worried about what was being said on the web. And as you know, I'm a guy who's been lied about by the mass media machine. So for me, I'm uniquely qualified at ignoring people. And so for the social media age, I've been telling people, ignore it. And he's like, Hart, you can afford to do that because you have a body of work. And I said to him, well, then focus on building your body of work instead of what people perceive you to be. Be who you need to be.
Although, let me ask you, Hart, to what extent do you think in this internet age, if there's, like, say, a vacuum, if you're not out there, you know, correcting someone's mistaken impression of you, are people stupid? Do they just fill in the blanks on their own and
people
come up with the wrong...
People are very, very stupid. They fill in the blanks on their own. I've heard all kinds of rumors about me from people. All kinds of lies have been told about me, both in the press and within, like, the industry. I mean, it's a weird thing. I'm a guy who's had a rock star lie about his publishing history with me. You know what I mean? And now that guy's nowhere and nothing because the lies, you know, were brought out and the truth was heard. And then I have a relationship with a guy like Glenn Danzig, and you look at his career and the longevity of it and the marketing, and I'm looking at Glenn in a different light now than I looked at him when I first met him and first ran his comic company in like 94, 95. And so I'm learning tremendously from him, and he's been helping me to figure out how to ignore the web. I have found out that people will believe what they want to believe, and you have to focus on who you know yourself to be and that body of work, because I do believe, like you, that the body of work will speak for itself. That's why my work has had a longevity. That's why I am in serial killer culture talking about a book I did like 22 years ago. And here we are talking about your work from 20 years ago. It's because you do have a body of work that speaks for itself, and it's worth discussing.
So, Hart, can you believe that 20 years have actually gone by?
I can't believe it, man. It feels like the 90s feel like they were somebody else's life.
Yes, and, you know, between 2001 and 2011 almost feels like it was like 1 year.
Yeah, well, I had such a journey with my wife, and I met her in the summer of 2001, and we've been together so long, I don't know what life is like without her, you know what I mean? And honestly, shit, dude, it's been like 13 years I haven't hit on a broad, you know what I mean? Like go out to a bar to score in like 13 years, and I feel like a rusty old hound now. I got no moves left. My teeth is all gone.
But in your heart, how old do you feel? How like, do you feel like a kid? Do you feel like in your early 20s? Do you feel like a teenager?
I literally feel like I'm 28. And here's the weird thing. I have better nutrition, and I'm a lifelong, I've been doing martial arts since 87. So I've trained with a lot of really great people, and it really does free you up having better people in your life. I'm going to say this as a secret to people at home. If there's people in your life that make you feel like shit and treat you like garbage, get rid of them. You're going to drop years from your age. You're going to feel better. You're going to be happier. A lot of people tell me now that I'm the most positive guy they meet. I mean, is this conversation we've had what you expected, Joe?
Yes, I'd say so. Hart, you know, you definitely deal in tough love, and a lot of people can't deal with that. You're not going to bullshit anybody. And, you know, some people might call you a dick or say you're an asshole because of that. You know, you're saying the things that people are afraid to say, but things that need to be said. And
thank
you. If I don't sound like too much of a jerk here, I think, hell, the whole of America needs to hear more of these things. A little more tough love should be dished out.
I really agree. And I think that this generation of youth need to learn how to be focused on themselves and their work, and less on people's perception of them. because the internet world is fake. It's not real. Your Facebook friend isn't the guy who's going to rush you to the hospital, okay? They're not the one. If you don't have friends in your life, like physical, real people in your life, there's going to be no one there to pick you up when you can't afford to pay for your internet connection. You need real people, and that's people are very, very important. That's the thing I've kind of learned. I've lost a lot, and I've loved a lot. That's the value in this world is the people in your life and is what you're doing with your life. And you're going to feel better if you're doing what you want to do with people that you can enjoy doing it with. And that's, you have found a woman now that you get to do this with. And I feel the same way about my wife, Waka. We're so blessed that we found each other. And all right, guys, you've heard it. Joe, thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it.
Oh, Hart, thanks for having me. This has been great.
We're out of here. Good night, guys.
All right, there is liking a TV show, and then there's taking a TV show a little too far. Kat, you sent me the story about Stephen Miles, 16, who loved the show Dexter. Miles was 16, he was dating a 17-year-old girl, and we don't know why. He killed her, chopped her up, and put her in garbage bags because he saw it on Dexter. And that's what his lawyer is basically trying to claim. He's not trying to claim he's innocent. He's trying to claim Dexter warped my kid. This is another one of those, no, 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 no. See, it's not the crazy person that did this. It's because he watched TV or listened to a rock and roll album or read a comic book. That's why he did it. I am just fucking sick of this passing the buck shit.
Yeah, I'm sick of it too. I mean, since like the late 90s, it seems once or twice a year, some violence in the media story comes up and kids are saying they're imitating what they're doing on TV. I mean, I graduated from high school with a C+ average because I was imitating Vinnie Barbarino, but nobody did a news story about that.
I think that's the only reason this story got media attention, honestly, Kat, is because the kid said, because I did it Dexter. Because of Dexter. You know, that's the only reason this caught media attention, I think.
I mean, there's such a fine line, you know, where you're dealing with people with psychological issues where they just don't understand how the world works. And then you get people who try and just pass it off and blame the media and claim crazy. But inevitably, you're making a decision.
Yeah,
to kill someone. And I don't know, because we do see legitimate somebody killed somebody else because they're insane. And it does happen. But it's so hard to tell if you kill someone because you're crazy and you don't understand that actions have consequences and that death is a real thing and it's really, really permanent, or if you just are full of anger and rage and you take it out on somebody and you're trying to just, you know, say that you're crazy to, you know, try and get a reduced sentence. It's like, it's tough. And the more we put it on television, I think the tougher it gets. We do put it on TV a lot.
You know what the biggest difference between him and Dexter is? Dexter didn't get caught.
Also, Dexter isn't real.
There's that too.
Yeah, I think they are kind of splitting hairs here. I mean, whether he chopped up his girlfriend because of a TV show or whether he chopped up his girlfriend because it just caught his fucking fancy, I think he's insane either way. I think the lawyer can go for the insanity plea without having to make this a violence in the media case.
Right. Like, it doesn't need to be there. Obviously, there's something wrong with him. And then it's just a matter of degrees. Like, is he insane in this way? Is he insane in that way? Is he just a killer? Like, is there such thing as just a killer? Who knows? That's not really for us to decide. But it doesn't need to be a violence in the media thing. Like, it really doesn't. There are a million ways that you can look up and find out how to kill somebody. We put a lot of TV shows out there to show people exactly how to do that. Dexter is one of hundreds.
Is that just a modern sociopathy, or is that like a disconnect from reality? For instance, in the UK, how about the unnamed teenager that set fire to a Wilkinson store where she was having a work experience because she was bored? She got bored. She wanted to go home. She was sick of stacking boxes. So she lit the boxes on fire, figuring then she could go home if there was a fire in the building. Is that just a sociopathy?
I think that's sheer stupidity. From what the article kind of said, it just made it look like she didn't understand how fire works and how quickly it would spread. And I think that's just straight up being stupid.
$1 million worth of damage because she was bored.
There have been stupider ways to spend money.
People
have made worse mistakes.
That's true.
I mean, this is a terrible one, but I really think this is just sheer, like, not understanding how fire works and making a dumb decision. Like, I don't think it's a sociopathy. I think it's just, this was a really dumb girl.
In this case, I think it could be sociopathy, though. I mean, because arson is a different crime than murder. Arson is the ultimate cry for help. It's literally a gigantic signal flare. I think this could be just like sociopathic behavior with, I just lit the boxes on fire so I wouldn't have to stalk them. Like, that's probably just the excuse. Because do you guys remember in 2005 in Colorado, the Hayman fire? because there's been a shit ton of wildfires in Colorado since then, but up to this point, this was one of the biggest ones. And it was started because a woman tore up and burned a love letter that was rejected by the firefighter she sent it to.
Hmm.
Are you listening, Alanis? That shit happened. I think this case could very much be sociopathic.
Well, speaking of fire, how about an ever-increasing problem we're having in this country with the obesity epidemic? Well, it turns out that when cremating bodies over 400 pounds, in this case a 500-pound body, more and more crematoriums are catching fire because the fat actually gets so hot that it moves, that the fire pushes it up the flues and sets the building on fire. Because they are having to cremate so many fat bodies, crematoriums are being set on fire because we're a nation of fatties. What the hell does that say?
The crematorium thing, though amusing to assholes like us who read it on the news and laugh about it, I don't really have a whole lot of sympathy for funeral problems because it's all decorative ceremonial bullshit. So they are justifying their own existence to an extent. But while we're on the subject, I think the epidemic of obesity and the epidemic of homelessness should have canceled each other out by now, because for every apartment containing a morbidly obese dude, around the corner in the alley, there's a real thin guy looking for an unfinished cheeseburger in his trash. So I think this whole case is like a visual representation of how fucked up America's priorities are and have been for a while.
Yeah, I kind of find the situation to be equal parts hilarious and really, really terrible. It sucks that anybody can get that fat, but there's only so many fingers pointing the blame in certain directions, which we really don't have to get into. I think it's sad that these people's businesses are basically almost burning down. I think that to me is a tragedy because I wouldn't want my business to burn down. And I don't know that can you refuse a cremation? Can you be like, no, I'm not going to cremate that person. He is way too fat. Like, are you allowed to do that? Is that discrimination?
Yeah, I don't know.
I've seen that sign up in diners.
I don't know the legality of that one, really.
A lot of private business owners do reserve the right to refuse service to anyone for any reason. So I think legally they can do it. I think it's fucked up that they are going to do it, but I think they can.
What if they charge by the pound, though?
Oh, my God.
That's probably insensitive to someone, probably the dead guy.
I don't care. I thought it was funny.
It's very funny, but you can't be insensitive to anyone, even if they can't hear you because they're dead.
All right, well, let's move to
America.
Let's move to Times Square and talk about how prudish America is. Pornhub had a contest to come up with a safe for work ad that they could put up around the country. What they ended up coming up with was two hands cupping one another, creating a heart with a Pornhub logo in the middle, and it says, "All you need is hand." Well, that stayed up for about 4 hours in Times Square before the neighbors were complaining. Neighboring businesses thought it was offensive that Pornhub would be advertising in Times Square. Do you guys remember what Times Square was like in the late 70s and early 80s? Why is Pornhub offensive?
That is one of the least offensive things in Times Square. Like, even now, like, even most of it's been gentrified and Giuliani and, like, Disney stored, but If you're easily offended, you picked the wrong fucking place to open your business.
And also, it is safe for work. There's no nudity. There's a little bit of a pun, but that's it. I don't understand. I mean, okay, if all of these ad agencies can put up their vile dreck that's all about financial services that are raping the American people and companies that are worth billions and billions of dollars that pay their employees nothing, I don't see why a masturbatory reference is out of line.
Yeah, you can have beer ads that people masturbate to, but nothing depicting masturbation. We don't want to talk about it.
I think that's it. It's the whole, we agreed not to talk about it. And this is in violation of that unspoken rule.
The citywide New York ordinance of keeping it on the DL.
Everybody goes to Pornhub. Why can't they advertise it? Okay, now our last one. Somewhat serious. Now, this isn't Rush Limbaugh. This was a guest host on his show. Limbaugh was not on this episode. Eric Erickson said that if you want to cure unemployment, get rid of the minimum wage. If you are in your 30s and you can only get a minimum wage job, that means you failed at life. People like Alex Jowski say, you're right. If you're 30 and you're working for minimum wage, then something in your life is so tragically wrong, you should find a way to fix it. Is this not the most out-of-touch bullshit you have ever heard?
First off, I think I understand Eric Erickson's problem is that his parents didn't love him very much because their last name is Erickson and they named him Eric. And clearly that doesn't show a whole lot of parental love. Yeah, his parents obviously just didn't care that much. And so obviously his life is all wrong because of lazy parenting. So I can almost sympathize with him a little bit, but then he opens his big dumb fucking mouth. It's again, these people who are wealthy, who are in positions of power, who don't understand a fucking thing about the real world and about how hard things are and how some people are born with advantages other people don't have. And money being one of the greatest advantages you can be born with.
Well, like when I was arguing about this with Alex Jowski off mic the other day, he said, if you are 30 and you are working minimum wage, you have failed at life. You should just go to college and better yourself. That's the kind of thinking that works here. Because yes, I'm not going to be eating while I'm in college, right? I don't need to work while I'm in college. If you are 30 and you are working at a minimum wage job, that means life has fucked you, not you failed at life.
Honestly, there's no one way that life works. It's impossible. It really is impossible to say that you have failed at life when there are so many different reasons and everything is circumstantial. One person's life cannot be compared to another person's life or one person's failings. There are some people who get addicted to drugs and yes, then they have failed at life. And there are other people who lost money in stocks because of corrupt people and they didn't fail at life. Somebody failed them. There's so many different things that can happen and you can't just say that it's always their fault or it's always the world's fault.
It's these people who are the ones who endorse all the companies like Lehman Brothers and shit that drive people into the ground so they have to work for minimum wage at 30.
Well, I think one example that Kat may have overlooked was, like, say you're Mr. and Mrs. Erickson and you just say, fuck it, name it him Eric, I don't give a fuck anymore. That's also failing at life. But I 100% agree that as a man in my 30s who currently works for a minimum wage job, that is because I dropped out of college. There were a lot of different circumstances surrounding my dropping out of college, just as there are for everyone else. Now, if you're telling me to do that something is tragically wrong and that I need to fix it, what I did was try to be happy anyway.
What I want to see happen is people like Eric Erickson and Rush Limbaugh, I want to see something go so wrong in their life that they lose every cent and they're working at McDonald's and then have every single person come up to them and throw a fucking ketchup container at them and go, you know what? Fuck you! You failed at life!
That would be great. I'm going to think about that later when I jerk off.
But keep it on the DL.
On the deal. Always on the deal.
You know, looking down on everybody. This is the kind of guy, this is the kind of fucking prick that would walk past a homeless man and go, get a job, scum, and then would help vote to give a tax break to a fucking oil company. That's the kind of fucked up scumbaggery we're dealing with here.
It is fucked up. It's completely unforgivable. I just think, I don't even know what kind of philosophy they're trying to champion, because so far they're just coming down on people, telling everyone else how they failed at life. I don't know what their better example would be. Like, are you trying to tell us that we should want to make way more than we need so that maybe we can be as prosperous and fucking ripplingly fat as Rush Limbaugh? Like, will that mean we're a success? Like, if we have more than we need,
Are
homeless people living in boxes in my neighborhood, is that the kind of life that you win at? If it is, then fuck you.
Did Tyler Durden not sum it up properly? We are the people who park your cars. We are the people who take out your trash. We are the people who cook your meals. We guard you while you sleep. Do not fuck with us.
Yeah, for them to be so against class warfare, they're kind of setting it up perfectly.
It's back to that whole conservatives hate poor people. They hate women, they hate people of color, and they hate poor people. And part of it is out of a huge lack of empathy of any kind. I think that's kind of what conservatives are all about, is they cannot possibly empathize with other human beings. Because then they have to recognize other human beings as human beings.
Do you know what having no empathy is? The literary
sociopathy.
Sociopathy. It's the dictionary definition of sociopathy. That's what that is.
People that say this kind of shit on, it's not even just Fox News. I hear shit like this from people that I talk to at work. I hear this from everybody. People are still, there are still enough people in this neighborhood for it to be a problem. They're still propagating the high status of a wealthy white male landowner. Like, you're not shit unless you own your home. You're not shit unless you make six figures. You're not shit unless all of this. It's just, it's actually diluted Nazism when you get right down to its basic components. You know what I mean? It's, they're saying they are part of the superior race and fuck all of you for not being it.
On that note, we're going to wrap up. This show has been kind of a tumultuous behind the scenes kind of thing. Internet, thank you. So where can we find Kat while you're still here?
When my internet works, you can find me on different places. And when your internet works, you should check them out. You can find me on Labyrinth Cat, on Twitter at Labyrinth Cat, and Facebook.com/NerdistCat. And you can find me on my other show, Nerd to the Third Power, over on That Guy with the Glasses under the podcast tab.
You can find me rolling out of bed, throwing a damp washcloth to Fox News with a look of disdain on my face. Also Twitter and Facebook and GeekJuiceMedia.com.
And you can find me at 1201beyond.com. Contact the show at 1201beyond@gmail.com. And remember to use the promo code Wadded Adam and Eve, goddammit.
Now, they lost someone who
hey, answering the question. Why did she...
Oh.
Buddy,
nobody knows.
God has turned into one nation under the influence of one drug,
television.
And one man who is the master of that medium, the president of the U.S. of A.
Television,
the drug of the nation, breeding ignorance and feeding radiation.
Television,
the drug of the nation, breeding ignorance and feeding radiation. Why less than 10% of our nation reads books daily? Why most people think Central America means Kansas? Communism means un-American, and apartheid is a new headache remedy.
Television!
The drug of the nation, breeding ignorance and feeding radiation.
Television!
Television!
The drug of the nation,
breeding ignorance and feeding radiation.
Radiation.
TV is the stomping ground for political candidates. Where bears in the woods are chased by Grecian formula bald eagles. Where all you need to do to get elected is to make monkey movies. Just ask Clinton Ryan. And where states in your mouth are more important than the words that come out of it.
On television,
the drug of the nation, breeding ignorance and feeding radiation.
Television,
television,
drug of the nation,
drug of the nation,
breeding ignorance
and feeding radiation.
Radiation.
That they may have taken something
when
they were pregnant.
Channel?
I beg your pardon.
TV
is a place with self-canceling phrases like fresh frozen, pop art, and military intelligence have become standard.
TV
is a place where words are redefined like concert of freedom fighter. And Sandinista.
to a present regime of television. Drug relation, breeding ignorance, feeding radiation.
Television,
drug relation, radiation, breeding ignorance, feeding radiation.
TV, play with the super happiest comes of trivia. Where toothpaste and cars have become sex objects.
Fuck is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.